Second Chronicles this morning. Turn to Second Chronicles, if you would. I appreciate y'all being here with us. Appreciate understanding the last couple of services had to switch around a little bit. To be honest with you, I didn't know if, I guess my lack of faith, didn't know if anybody would be here this morning. I knew a few would be here, but I didn't know if, I figured we'd be kind of low this morning. And it looks like we need to set out chairs. That's a blessing. Lord, thank you for being here. That's encouraging to me. Second Chronicles chapter number 20. You can remain seated. I'm going to read a good many verses here. Hope that's okay. Some of you probably need to catch up on your Bible reading anyway. All right. See if anybody's listening to me. Second Chronicles chapter 20. It's right in there, verse number 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be as a Nata Hamar, which is Engedi. I'm glad I don't speak Hebrew. Obviously I don't. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah that came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kings of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave us to the city of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee with our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Amen. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Amen. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came with the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. He said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What a blessing. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked at the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on this fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat, and the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, For the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with the psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kings of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Brother Rick, would you open us up in prayer this morning and pray for me?
Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you we can be gathered in your house today. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be given over to you wholly. Be with Pastor Elijah as he preaches the word today. Strengthen him, Lord, and give him what we need to deliver to us. And I pray we believe the man of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I said this a few times lately, and it's becoming more and more evident to me here lately. We are in a spiritual battle. Both personally, every family in here has dealt with some sort of trial or another. As a church, Satan has tried to cause division and turmoil in here, even with just this COVID stuff, has tried to cause division and turmoil just in the church. I don't know about you, but at times I feel overwhelmed. I hate to admit this out loud where the devil can hear it, but at times I don't feel capable of fighting. I'm not capable of fighting Satan. I'm no match for Satan and his demons. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? I don't know about this demon and mysticism stuff. I'm not talking about anything mystical here. The church of the living God is in a battle with Satan and all his demons. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a real adversary. I believe the problem in our homes often can be traced back to him. The problems in our own minds can be traced back to him. The temptations that we face can be traced back to him. The trials oftentimes, not always, the trials oftentimes can be traced back to him. The confusion and division in our country can definitely be traced back to him. So the 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If God is not the author of confusion, then guess who is? Satan. I believe the bride of Christ as a whole, as well as our local New Testament church here, are deep in a battle with Satan today. I believe he's doing all he can to stop us. Don't get me wrong. I understand this virus is a real thing. I get that. Some folks have been affected differently than others have been affected. But this confusion, this turmoil, I believe that Satan is doing all he can to stomp out the church. There's wickedness in high places in our country. I believe it is. Scripture tells us. I believe that. Why else is it illegal to assemble as a normal church as you normally would in California today? They have all sorts of crazy restrictions, but the liquor stores and abortion clinics are open. And they are open. I just saw them the other day. It's true. I promise you, they're open. Why is that okay? Wickedness in high places. Satan sitting in high places. We are fighting a spiritual battle. So the question remains, what are we supposed to do about it? How are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to respond to all this? Where are we supposed to draw the line between battle, between being having peace? Should we be fighting in the streets, or should we just leave it alone and do what we're told to do? What should we do as a church? The answer lies, I believe, in the fact that this is not a fight with flesh and blood, with principalities and rulers and darkness of this world. It's a spiritual battle, I believe. I believe the answer to these questions is right here in our text. The Lord's talking to preach a little while on how to win a spiritual battle. I know we just read it, and if you're like me, sometimes it takes reading things two or three times before you really start to grasp what this chapter is really. Maybe that's just me. You're looking at me weird. Maybe that's just me. But for my sake, let me do this brief overview here. And then we'll step back into a short outline of the process Jehoshaphat went through to win the spiritual battle. Just quick overview of this chapter here. I know I just read it, but do it quickly. Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah. He's a good king, a king that feared God and followed God. Eventually, he's going to trip up. He's going to join forces with the evil king of Israel. But for the sake of today's passage, he's a good king that feared God. So the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, enemies of Judah and Israel, have come up against Jehoshaphat to battle. They're big enemies, large, powerful enemies. Enemies that Israel did not fight against and conquer in the wilderness because God laid them around those enemies. So that the enemies are still there. Now they've come up against King of Judah, the king and Judah, to conquer them. And Jehoshaphat is scared. Verse 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared. Great King of Judah is scared. He has fear because of his enemies. He's scared. He proclaims a fast. They all gather together to seek the Lord's face to help them fight against these large and powerful enemies that are come to kill them. They're scared, so they, pretty good decision. They went and sought the Lord's face. Jehoshaphat goes and he stands in the middle of the people. And he starts crying out to God for help. Art not thou God in heaven, he says in verse 6. Art not thou God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel, he says in verse 7. He says, Lord, aren't you God? Aren't you the one that gave us this land? And now there were people that you told us not to conquer. Now they're coming in. They're going to try to take our land that's your possession that you gave to us. They're trying to take it away from us. He says in verse 12, wilt not thou judge them? Are you going to let him come in here and kill us? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. They said, Lord, they're coming to take our land that you gave to us. We don't have the strength to fight them. We can't handle it on our own. We can't fight this great company, he says. We don't know what to do. Lord, we need help. We aren't strong enough. We don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before? Lord, I'm just not strong enough. I don't know what to do. I've had times myself that way many times. Lord, this is above me. This is above my pay grade. This is beyond my comprehension. This is beyond my understanding. This is beyond my ability. Lord, what do you expect me to do with these enemies? God used a man, a Levite in the congregation. He spoke to him, allowed him to be God's messenger for this time. This was God's answer. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 17, he says, you shall not need fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat and the people cried out to God for help, and God responded with, the battle is not yours, but God's. He said, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight it. It's my battle anyway. They go on to face the enemy, they thought. Jehoshaphat stopped them and told them they better believe the Lord God and better believe the prophets if they want to prosper. Then they appointed singers, and they were to praise the beauty of holiness as they were marching into battle. He told them, you just start singing. They had choir practice, started singing, marching into battle. Think about the beauty of holiness. They said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And as they sang, it says, God set ambushments against the enemy. And guess what? They were smitten. The enemy turned against the enemy. It says everyone helped to destroy another. God confused them. They began fighting each other until they were all dead. God turned them against one another, made them kill each other. Amen. Judah finally shows up to where they can see the battlefield. They're still marching and singing about the beauty of holiness. They show up. They come over the hill, apparently, and it's just a field full of dead bodies. All the enemy dead. It said, and none escaped. Every one of them dead. Jehoshaphat, I wonder who killed the last one. You know, something to think about. Jehoshaphat and Judah are over here preparing for battle by faith. You say faith, preacher in the Old Testament, there's faith in the Old Testament. You better believe there is.
That's right.
Job had faith, Abraham had faith, Moses had faith. Jehoshaphat and Judah are preparing by faith to go to battle. You say, how do you know they're preparing by faith? Because they weren't sharpening their swords. They were having choir practice on the way to battle. Meanwhile, God has already showed up on the battlefield, worked out a problem for his people. While they're marching along singing about the beauty of holiness, God's on the other side killing the enemy. He's turning them against each other, killing each other. They show up, the enemy's dead. They get to go reap the spoils of war. Apparently Ammon and Moab came into battle loaded down with all kinds of riches. What about that? What kind of soldiers carry riches and precious jewels? You can't tell me that's a coincidence. It then took Judah 3 entire days to strip all the soldiers of their wealth and riches. It took them 3 days to gather their spoils of war in a battle they didn't even have to fight. They came believing God would fight for them, and they left loaded down with more spoils of war than they could carry in one day. It says down in verse 26, they came on the fourth day and gathered in the valley of Berakah. What is that? That word Berakah means a blessing or a present. God turned their battlefield into a blessing. You say, what's your point, preacher? That's a great story. That's something great happened to Judah. It is, and I realize we are no Jews today. We are not replacing of Jews. I understand that. And there's promises in here to the Jews that aren't necessarily written to us. But I'm no hyper-dispensationalist. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I believe we can learn something here in 2 Chronicles, even though it's written to the Jews and about the Jews. I believe we can learn something here to relate to us today. You know the problem Judah had. You know what the problem they had here was? What kind of battle was it? I believe it was a spiritual problem. These people, they hated the Jews because they were God's people, and God had blessed them. They wanted part of them, wanted to conquer these people. I believe it was a spiritual battle. God conquered them himself. You didn't have to lift a sword. If God can do that for them, I believe he will also many times do the same for us. So I'm going to propose a question to you today. Is there a battle that you need help with? Is there something you're going through that you just need some help? Would you say like Jehoshaphat, for we have no might against this great company. We're not capable. Would you say like Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do. Would you be willing to admit that? Lord, it's a big battle, it's a big enemy, and I do not know what to do. Is there a battle you're going through as a nation today right now? Pretty much the entire world going through a battle. I believe it's a spiritual battle we are in. Freedom to worship versus fear of sickness. Really, I don't have all the answers for it, but I know someone who does. And the best thing I can do is just follow the pattern set forth here by Jehoshaphat on how to win a spiritual battle. The best answer I can do, I can give you, is do what he did. It worked for Jehoshaphat. Maybe it just might work for us today. God is no respecter of persons. If we'll protect his chosen people of Israel, surely he'll protect his bride, the church. Don't you think?
Amen.
So what is it that Jehoshaphat did to set him up for God to win the victory for him? What is the pattern that he followed that we need to follow? How do we win a spiritual battle? Number one, back to the beginning of the chapter, we see Jehoshaphat, we see his seriousness. Verse number 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. If we are ever going to make it through these battles that come our way, we have to get serious with God. Jehoshaphat didn't take this lightheartedly. He didn't start adding it to his prayer before his meal. He didn't say a quick 5-minute prayer and then go about his day. It says he set himself to seek the Lord. He changed his direction. He changed his course. He changed his schedule. He said, now I'm going to have to get help from God. If we're going to win, if I'm going to survive as a king, if my nation is going to survive, the kingdom is going to survive, I'm going to have to get in touch with God. He was serious about it. He allowed to even change his diet. It says he proclaimed a fast. He's willing to sacrifice in order to get a hold of God of heaven. If we're going to win these spiritual battles, we have to be willing to change our course in order to seek God. Be willing to change, be serious about seeking God. I know it says the word fast. None of us like to hear that word fast. We try to avoid that. The Bible says some things only come by prayer and fasting. But besides fasting, I'm not going to preach on that today. You probably should. Some of us aren't even willing to change our schedule, much less our diet. Well, I'm too tired to get up early and pray. I'm too tired. I can't stay up late. I'm too tired. I can't do that. I can't go to church 3 times, 3 days a week. I'm too busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm just too busy, preacher. If we're going to win any spiritual battles for the Lord, we're going to have to be willing to change our course and be serious about seeking God. If you're going to win any spiritual battles, you're going to have to be willing to allow it to alter your life. Jehoshaphat was serious about seeking God. Step number one to winning these battles, get serious with God. When's the last time you actually spent some time with God in prayer? When's the last time you turned the TV off and read your Bible? When's the last time you turned the news off? That'd help you a lot. Pray to the Lord. Maybe it's about time you start. You say, oh, this battle is hard. Oh, this is rough. I don't know how we're going to make it. You want to win? Get serious with God. Set yourself to seek His face. Are you willing to be serious about God? I just told you earlier, Brother Sammy Allen passed away. One of the greatest prayer warriors that's ever lived, Brother Sammy Allen, passed away. It's been said by those who have traveled with him, other preachers traveled with him, he said he would wake up at 3 or 4 o'clock every morning and go pray for hours. And then he started reading his Bible for hours. And then he had the one person with him start reading the Bible to him for hours. And then he started praying some more. And then he'd get up and preach. Whoever he had with him, he said he'd do that every morning, every day. That's how he prepared to preach a revival, every time. He said he had rooms at his church. And he said one place there was one of the bathrooms. He'd go there in the morning and pray before service. He said a deacon said he had to go there many times and fix the toilet. The preacher had ripped it up out of the floor. He got excited while he's praying. He started to say he reinforced the floor so he couldn't rip it up anymore. He said, what is that all about, preacher? I don't have all the answers for you, but I can tell you one thing. He was serious about seeking the Lord. We need some Christians who are willing to be serious about seeking God. This thing of serving God, Brother Sammy Allen would say, this is a serious thing, friend. You want to win the battle? Get serious with God. This isn't a game. Are you going to live for Him or are you not? Jehoshaphat, step number one, he got serious about it. Step number two, we see his influence. Verse number 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. The king was so serious about getting the attention of God, it had changed the entire nation's outlook. It says, and Judah gathered himself together to ask help of the Lord. The king got a burden for his people, so much so that the people followed in his footsteps. Your seriousness with God will influence others.
Yeah.
Husband, father, your seriousness with God will influence your family. You want your family to be godly, you be godly. You started. Boss man, your seriousness with God will influence your employees. Big brother, big sister, your seriousness with God will influence your siblings. Teacher, your seriousness with God will influence your students. Grandpa, grandma, your seriousness with God will influence those around you, your grandkids, your kids, and those around you. The king's seriousness with God influenced the entire nation. They said, the king is seeking God. We better seek God too. I wonder what would happen to our town and to our island if New Hope Baptist Church as a whole started taking God seriously. What would happen if we took the Great Commission seriously? What would happen if we truly believed our neighbors were dying and going to hell? Will we go more? Will we do more? Will we care more? What would happen if we took God seriously? The king sees his influence, his people see his influence, to see his plea. Verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? You can go and keep reading his plea to God. We see his cry to God. He didn't just leave it alone. He brought it before God. Down through verse number 12, you see him crying out to God for help. And he reminded God of his gifts and his promises. He's laying it out before the Lord. You want to win some spiritual battles? Lay it out before God. Bring it to him. Why is it when we're praying, we're trying to talk to God in code? Lord, help this. Help. Just tell God what the problem is. He already knows anyway. Bring it to him. We try to talk. We try to make keep a secret. Lay it out before the Lord. Lord, I have this problem. I have this problem. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You promised you'd be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lay it out before him. We see he laid it out before God. He got serious with God. He brought it to God. He said, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Lord, I can't handle it. This is the problem. I do not have the ability. Lord, this is what's going on. I cannot fix it. When you see his humility, we would do well to learn some humility in our prayers. Lord, you're in control of the work. You can handle it. Lord, I don't know what to do. He says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You want to win some battles? Learn to pray. Learn to be humble. And start looking at him. It says, our eyes are upon thee. Quit looking at what's going on. Quit looking at the enemy. Quit looking at how to fix it yourself. Quit trying to be the solution and just put your eyes on him. Quit focusing on the trouble and focus on him. If you look at him, the problems begin to fade away. If you would focus on God, how good God is, the battle would seem a whole lot smaller. Keep your eyes on him. You want to win the battle? Focus on him. We see their cry. We see their unity. Verse number 13. Skip a few verses there. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. This is a family problem, a nation problem. They came before God as a family. Their families were all together in one accord, standing before the Lord. I believe it's crucial for the family to be together standing before the Lord. Get your family in church. Well, they're young and they don't understand everything. It says they brought the little ones and their wives and their children. They had the entire family there. I'm sure there were some children, little young children, they didn't understand the gravity of the situation that Judah was in. They had been warned the enemy is going to come kill them. Not every little kid's going to grasp that. Yet they were there in one accord standing before the Lord. They're all there as a family standing before God. Some say, well, my little ones, they just don't understand everything about God and church yet. Maybe not. How else are they going to learn unless they're here? That's one reason we don't do children's church here. Little kids may not understand it all. But it is vital to their well-being to be brought up in the church. How do little kids learn to sit still in church? By sitting in church. Amen. My kids are extremely far from perfect, by far. One thing we've always done is try to keep them in the service. Samuel, when we first started out, now Evie's getting away herself, so can't keep her mouth shut. But he would get loud. We had to take him out and bring him back in. Sometimes get loud, take him out and spank him and bring him back in. I know we're not supposed to do that. It's biblical. We did that for quite some time. But you know what happened? He eventually had to sit still in church. He said, we're preaching, little kids are a distraction. I'd rather hear a baby cry inside the church than him not come to church. If I can't preach over a baby crying, I might as well just go back home. If you can't listen over a baby crying, you're not very serious about seeking God. They were together with their family, standing before God. Fathers, keep your family in church. I'm thankful that we have a good group of fathers here at New Hope Baptist. I'm thankful we have a good group of men who feel it's important to have their family in church. Don't lose sight of that. They were united before God. Where else will the children learn if they don't start learning it from at home? Learn it for their family. You want to win some spiritual battles in your home? Get your children, get your wife to church. You know, win some spiritual battles in your marriage. Get you and your spouse before God as a family. Come before God together, united as a family. We see their unity. We see their answer, God's answer to them. Verse 15. And he said, hearken ye, all ye Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Notice God tells them exactly where to find the dead bodies. You should not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You can't read those verses without smiling. The spiritual battle we are in is not our battle. We cannot fight Satan on our own. We are in our flesh are no match for him. We have been given some armor to use. I've been teaching that in the team class. I'm not going to cover all that. I'll read a couple of verses. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wild.